Well, we are going to dig into our message this morning, part two of our message series called The Father's Heart. It's our second week, and as I was prepping this, I planned on sharing three more brief pointers, and I started on the first one, and I realized this first issue was so big, so we're going to take the whole message to talk about one huge issue. And the whole goal of this series is to get parenting insight and tips based on the way our Heavenly Father parents us. And as we learn from our Heavenly Father, we're going to become better parents of our own children, the children we have had and the children we will have in the future. If you don't have kids or your kids are grown and out of the house, then you're going to learn more about the way that God loves you, and you're going to be able to encourage others, and you'll be a better parent if you haven't had kids yet when you do. And the principles we're going to talk about are not the things that Charlene and I are hitting out the park. These are the things we're aiming for because we see them in the Bible and we see it in the way God interacts with us. So if you encounter any of my kids and they are the absolute antithesis of everything I'm about to teach, just know everything is okay. We have a goal. We're aiming for it. And if you know anything about parenting, you know you're aiming for it. We always use the term movement. There's lots of dips along the way. We're just trying to make sure the general movement is in the right direction. We're not after perfect behavior. We're after good, positive movement. And parenting is a long game if ever there was one. These are overarching principles that we believe will bring spiritual health into your family and into your parenting. And the goal is for you to figure out what this looks like in your family, to talk with your spouse or your children's mom or dad and come up with a game plan based on what the Word of God teaches us. I said this last week, and I just want to say it again. If you are a parent, you can have this confidence that God has called you to be a parent, and He has made all the power you need to parent well available to you through the Holy Spirit. If you will rely on the Holy Spirit, I promise God will equip you. I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm not saying it won't push you way past what you think your limit is, but the Lord will bless you and the Lord will equip you for the task that He's called you to. He loves your kids even more than you do. He loves you, and He wants good for your children even more than you do. He loves your kids. He's on your side. He's with you. He's rooting for you. He's praying for you. And He wants good for you. You can trust He's on your side. So let's jump in. This is the one big principle we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the subject of honor. And the first fill-in I want you to write in is this. Our Heavenly Father desires a culture of honor exist in every home. Our Heavenly Father desires a culture of honor exist in every home. Let's unpack this by looking at the Old Testament law, then we'll look at Jesus, and then we'll look at how this applies to our families today. In the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment deals with the way children should interact with their parents. The Lord gave this command to His people. It's on your outline. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Apostle Paul points out something about this command in his letter to the Ephesians in the Bible. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is, and then underline, the first commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The Lord attaches the promise of a blessing to those who honor their mother and father, the blessing of a long life and a life that goes well. Do you want your children to be blessed? Absolutely. Every parent wants their children to be blessed. So God put that in that verse, in that command, to grab the attention of every parent. Write this down. God promises to bless those who honor their father and mother. God promises to bless those who honor their father and mother. What we should immediately draw from this is that the Lord places a priority on children honoring their parents. He made it one of the Ten Commandments, which sum up the whole law, and He paired it with the promise of a blessing for those who would do it. But the Lord didn't stop there. The Bible also tells us about the consequences that God laid out in the Old Testament law for children who would not honor their father and mother. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord says, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, Amen." In the book of Exodus, the Lord says, "He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. You slap your mama, you throw a punch at your dad, you get the death penalty. Not only that, but just two verses later, the Lord says, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That means if you called your mom or dad an insulting name, you got the death penalty. And there's no exception made for a child based on the youth of their age or the advanced years of their age. In fact, speaking of older kids, the Lord gives these instructions in the book of Deuteronomy on how to deal with a young man who won't listen to his parents. Here's some practical instruction. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Apparently, the Lord feels that sons and daughters are supposed to honor their father and mother as long as they live. There's no expiration date. It's not a cute command for children. Write this down. In other words, God intends sons and daughters to honor their parents simply because of the position they hold as the father and mother. God intends sons and daughters to honor their parents simply because of the position they hold as the mother and father. We're going to find out in a little bit why that's so important, that concept. Let me ask you this. Knowing that was the Old Testament law, the law given by God, the law in effect among the people of Israel when they were serving God, do you think those parents took the task of teaching their children to honor them seriously? Do you think they took it seriously? You bet. Why? Because it's life and death. Do you think they did whatever was necessary to make sure their children honored them? Absolutely. Nobody wants their children to be stoned to death. You can bet your life that if one of those kids started talking out of turn or talking with an attitude, that kid probably got a smack across the mouth or some other consequence that would make sure they very quickly learn to control their words and tone with mom and dad and show appropriate honor. And you might think, that sounds horrible. That sounds overbearing and cruel. But let me ask you, when children honoring their parents is a life or death issue, is it not the right thing for the parents to do whatever it takes to make sure that their children live? Is that not the most loving thing to do in that situation? And knowing the fifth commandment, wouldn't a loving parent want to raise their child to walk in the blessing and favor of God, the blessing God promised to those who would honor their father and mother? Absolutely. Just as a thought exercise to illustrate this point, imagine you have a child, a son or a daughter, in their 20s. They walk away from God and they become addicted to heroin. And they are doing terrible things. They're selling themselves to raise the cash to feed their addiction. They're getting beaten up and abused on a regular basis. Their life is in danger every day. If someone came to you as the parent and said, hey, I can take you back in time to their childhood, to their teen years, and you can change the outcome, you'd take that offer in a heartbeat. And once you'd gone back in time, what would you do differently? You would pay such close attention to who your child was hanging out with, where they went, what they were doing. You would watch everything closely. You'd put tighter limits probably in the hopes that you would change the outcome, even though there's no guarantee. You know what would not dissuade you? Your child telling you, you're so unfair, Dad. Oh, Mom, you just don't understand. That would not dissuade you an ounce. Even if your child didn't like you some days, that would not dissuade you. You know why? Because you would be thinking, this is life or death that we're talking about here. And I have to do whatever it takes to make sure that you end up on the path of life and not the path of death. Everything would become very clear suddenly. Your priorities would become crystal clear. That's what these Old Testament law families faced, a life or death issue around their children honoring them rightly. I want to suggest to you that honor is still a life or death issue. We're going to unpack that. Let's look at what Jesus told us about the subject of honor. So I'm just going to read to you an interaction that he had with the Pharisees in John chapter 8. We're just going to underline a few things for anybody who wants to turn there. We'll be in John chapter 8, verse 48. If you've got super fast Bible flip skills, John chapter 8, verse 48. It says this, "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but,'" and then underline, "'I honor my Father. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There's one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death.' Then the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you're a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?' Jesus answered, 'If I honor myself, my honor is nothing.'" And then underline this, "It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.' Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" So even within the Godhead, this is what I want you to notice, even within the Trinity, we see that there is honor as a foundation of how they interact with each other. Write this down. Honor is a core part of the Trinity's relationship. We see it right there in the text. Jesus says, "I honor my Father." And then he says, "It's my Father who honors me." So honor is a core part of the Trinity's relationship. Now get this, in John chapter 12, 26, Jesus makes this incredible statement. He says, "If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So wrap your head around this, it's your next fill-in. Our Heavenly Father will honor those who serve Jesus. If you serve Jesus, God the Father will honor you. That's mind-blowing to me. What's the obvious conclusion from this? Clearly, the Father considers serving Jesus to be a lifestyle that is worthy of honor. So track with me here. If the Father considers anyone who serves Jesus to be worthy of honor, shouldn't we consider anyone who serves Jesus to be worthy of honor too? Absolutely. That's why in Romans 12:10, Paul writes this, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." I want to share two other translations of the same verse. The NIV says it like this, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." The ESV says it like this, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Let's make a note of this, and we'll make it as simple as possible. Apparently, believers are to strive to give each other honor and not pursue honor for themselves. Believers are to strive to give each other honor and not pursue honor for themselves. The Father will honor those who serve Jesus, so should we. Going somewhere with all of this, we've seen honor as a foundational value among the Trinity, within the Trinity, among believers within the church, and in how sons and daughters are supposed to interact with their parents. We won't turn there, but in Mark 7, Jesus reinforces and elevates the importance of honoring one's father and mother, saying this is not a command that passes away. This is the heart of God. It's what he wants you to do. So where is it all going? What is this all about? Why does God take children honoring their parents so seriously? Well, in John 5, Jesus says this, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Here's what this is all about. This is why honor is a theme running through family and through the church and through the Trinity. Write this down. If a son or daughter does not know how to honor their earthly father and mother, how will they know how to rightly honor their heavenly father? If a son or daughter does not know how to honor their earthly father and mother, how will they know how to rightly honor their heavenly father? Towards the end of the book of Revelation, there's a moment where John the Apostle hears a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God." You see, like water flows to the lowest accessible point, all glory will ultimately flow to Jesus. At the end of this age, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is God, the glory of God the Father. All glory, like water flowing to the lowest point, flows to Jesus. All of it. Even in that moment when we're in his presence and he says he will honor us for serving Jesus, we will gladly give back that honor because there will just be this overwhelming sense of, thank you, I'm grateful, but all honor belongs to you. All honor belongs to you. It terminates with you. It ends with you. It must flow to you. It's the law, not of just this universe, but everything beyond this universe that we don't even know of yet. All glory goes to Jesus. Your children, you and I, when we begin our relationship with the Lord, just like our kids, we don't know the deep theological truths of the faith or the Bible or the Lord. Your children have probably not read the whole Bible. Some of you probably have not read the whole Bible. But here's what the Bible says. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, the starting point of wisdom, the starting point of the path that leads to life is understanding that God is great and mighty and powerful and supreme, and we should begin by interacting with him accordingly. Viewing him that way. That's the beginning. What's the power in that? The power is that your child now can understand that God is mighty and powerful. Your child now can understand that he loves them. Your child can understand that God deserves to be honored. Your family can choose to honor God, and in doing these things, you will set your child on the path that leads to life. I want to explain a huge concept in the area of honor, and then we'll break this down and look at some practical application for you and I and our families. There is a fundamental difference between respect and honor. This is huge. Write this down. Respect is earned, honor is given. Respect is earned, honor is given. And we live in a culture where people think they're one in the same thing, and so they give neither. A person can earn your respect by their conduct, their behavior, or their accomplishments and achievements, but honor doesn't have anything to do with their behavior, their character, or their achievements. Honor has everything to do with the office that a person occupies, the position that they hold. We should honor other believers because they hold the office of servant of Jesus. We should honor God because he holds the office of God. And sons and daughters should honor their parents because they hold the office of father and mother. Period. The position they have, the office they hold, is enough of a reason to warrant honor. Even Jesus told his followers to honor the office of Caesar, the pagan leader of the army that was occupying the Holy Land that belonged to the Lord and to his people. Even Jesus said, pay taxes to him. Why? Because he's the ruler of this land right now. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Is it because Caesar was just a misunderstood righteous man? No. He's wicked. He's horribly wicked. Jesus was just simply preaching what Paul would later articulate in Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. In other words, every authority figure in the world, for better or worse, is only in their position because God allows it. He allows it. By the way, do you know who was in the highest office in the land when Paul wrote that? You know who was on the throne in Rome? Nero, one of the most villainous, heinous, satanic, demonic persecutors, torturers, and killers of believers that has ever walked the face of the earth, possessed by the devil himself, seemingly. And Paul writes, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. He's only there because God has allowed it." Doesn't mean God likes him or thinks he's doing a good job. It means he's allowed it. That's heavy duty, because we're like, man, my party didn't win the last election. I just don't know if I can submit. Nero's burning people. And Paul says, just remember, even the office he holds is still worthy of honor. Do you see how our culture is losing this concept rapidly? The man may not be worthy of respect, but the office he holds may very well be worthy of honor. You might not like the next Prime Minister of Canada. I might not like the next Prime Minister of Canada, but guess what? His office is still worthy of honor. Respect is earned, honor is given. Did you notice in the command for children to honor their mother and father, there are no caveats or exceptions? So did you notice it doesn't say, children, honor your mother and father unless they're idiots. It doesn't say, children, honor your mother and father unless it's very obvious and apparent that you know more than them in a specific situation. There are no exceptions given. Why? Because their office is worthy of honor. It's not even about their performance in that office or position. It doesn't matter whether or not they're even worthy of respect. Parents, you raising your children to honor you is not about whether or not you believe you're worthy of that honor. That's not what it's about. It's about teaching them to honor the office of mother and father so that they can grow to appropriately and rightly honor their heavenly father. Just because you don't feel worthy of that honor doesn't mean you get to give them a pass. God has said they need to learn honor. They need to learn it, and they need to learn it at home. If you fail to give your children that expectation, if you fail to set that standard, I'm not saying if they fail to live up to it. I'm saying if you fail to set the standard, if you fail to strive for that, you're raising your children in disobedience to the Lord. That's the bottom line. So write this down. Raising one's children to honor their father and mother is not a style of parenting. It's a biblical imperative. It's the believing parents must do. Raising one's children to honor their father and mother is not a style of parenting. It's a biblical imperative. We got to do it. Okay, Jeff, I get the importance of this. So how do I do it? I want to share one question that has some obvious exceptions, but it's a good general principle. It's a helpful tool for discerning how we're doing as parents with our kids around the issue of honor. Here's the question. If your children interacted with God the way they interact with you, would they be found honoring God? If your children interacted with God the way they interact with you, would they be found honoring God? For example, if the Lord says to you or I want you to go here and I want you to do this, which of these two responses is correct for the believer? Why? Or, yes, Lord. Easy question. And I'm not saying we get this right all the time. It's amazing how often we manage to mess this simple thing up. My point is that we know what our response should be in that situation. We know it should be, yes, Lord. Why? Because he's our Lord and our master. We were bought with a price. We don't even own ourselves. We belong to Jesus. So we begin by affirming who we are in relation to him by saying, yes, Lord, I'm acknowledging you're my Lord. It's an acknowledgement of our intent to be obedient to his instructions. After we've established our intent to obey, we can ask, Father, I've got to ask, why? I don't understand, though. And our loving Father will walk us through it. But sometimes he doesn't, does he? Sometimes he says, I know you're scared, but I'm not going to give you the why right now. Right now, you need to just trust me. You need to just trust that I know what I'm doing and I have your best interests in heart. If you followed the Lord for any period of time, you know that sometimes we just have to be obedient without fully understanding the why, because we've realized that the why is going to come later. We're going to understand later, and we're going to be so glad we trusted God when he asked us to trust him. If that's how we should respond to the Lord, if that's how we want our kids to respond to the Lord, are we training them to do that by the way we teach them to interact with us as parents? Or are we raising our kids to be difficult and uncooperative when they get asked to do something they disagree with or don't fully understand? It's a good practical standard to have with our children. When they're asked to do something, they need to begin by expressing their intention to obey first. So when the parent calls the child and I say, "Hey, Noah, come here," the first response needs to be, "Come in, Dad," not, "Why?" But, "Come in, Dad." And then when he comes to me, he can say, "Hey, Dad, can I ask why? Why did you call me?" There's a big difference between those two things. When the why comes first before obedience, here's what it means. Why? Because I want to determine whether or not I'll obey based on how you answer that question. That's the problem with the why coming first. We're saying, well, the why doesn't matter. The instruction matters. I said, "Come here." Not why. "Yes, Dad." Then you get there. "What's up? What do you need, Dad? What's going on?" But they shouldn't delay obedience because they want the full explanation and instruction first. You won't get very far in your faith if you need to understand everything before you take a single step of faith. You'll never take a step of faith because then it won't be a step of faith. Here's a practical example. You're in a parking lot with your kid. Maybe you're thinking, "I don't know, I like to dialogue with my kids more than that." I'm talking about younger kids here, before the preteen years. You're in a parking lot with your kid. They're a little distance away from you because kids just drift from their parents as soon as the situation becomes dangerous. There's a mathematical relationship there. The more dangerous a situation, the further from you they're going to drift. It's just going to happen. Can't explain it, but it's science somehow. So you look, and there is a car about to pull out that can't see them because they're too low. They're too low to the ground. And you've only got time to yell, "Johnny, other side, now!" There's no more time to train your kid. Either you've trained your kid to trust you, obey first, ask why later, or the last word your kid ever says is going to be why. Why? We don't think this stuff is a big deal. It is a huge deal. There will not always be time to explain why to your kids. I promise. We've had so many situations like this with our kids. They got to know, you got to obey first and trust. I'm not yelling why like a raving lunatic for no reason. There's a really good reason. Something bad is about to happen. And you want to get to safety and then ask what was about to happen. It's like, you know, when someone who's terrified of spiders has a spider on them and you say, "Don't move," you deal with the spider and then you tell them a spider was on them. They're like, "Why?" Because you have a spider on you. Everybody freaks out. Just, they need to obey first for their own safety. We want our children to trust God and obey Him, even when they don't understand the why. So we have to teach them when they're kids that they can trust us as their mother and father to know things that they don't know, to see things that they don't see, to recognize dangers they do not perceive. And they need to obey, trusting we have their best interests in heart. Do you see the connection here that if they don't know how to rightly honor their earthly mother and father, how are they going to know how to rightly honor their heavenly father? It just won't work. So let's talk through some practical ways that children, again, before the preteen years, can honor their parents. We talked about instant obedience. And in our house, we say that we want our kids to obey right away, the first time, with a smile. Right away, the first time, and with a smile. That's saying, when we call you, it's "Yes, Dad," not, "I got two more minutes in this level." Right away, the first time. We're not going to ask you seven times. Although, as a husband, I feel very, very convicted about this because I think every husband fails miserably at this. You know, as it says, you know, when a man says he's going to do something, we don't need you to remind us about it for the next 6 months. So, you get that. And then with a smile, we say we want it to be done with a good attitude. We don't want it to be like, "What?" Right away, the first time with a smile. That's the standard. The only exceptions we teach our kids is if they have to do something moral in order to obey right away. So if you coming running right away will mean you drop your baby brother on his head, you should not come right away. You should put your brother down safely first and then come running. You should do the moral thing, but that's the only exception. Right away, the first time with a smile. This is for all ages, but children need constant reminder of this one. When they're speaking to their parents, really any adult, but especially their parents, they need to look them in the eye when they're talking to them to show that they're giving them their full attention. Man, as a culture, we need to brush up on this, right? Just because of cell phones. How many conversations happen like while we're looking at our cell phone? You know, everybody's a multitasker when it comes to phones. You know, till 30 minutes later, you realize you have no idea what your wife's been talking about. When she asks you what you think, you're like, oh, wow, now I'm in trouble. So look at him. Give him your full attention. Give him the honor of acknowledging you are my sole focus right now. Because the Lord deserves our full attention in prayer, when in worship, and in Bible study. Another one for all ages, just your tone of voice, things like talking back and attitude and speech. Does anybody think it's cute to give attitude to God? Does anybody think it's cute if we said, you know, Lord, would you please provide for me this month? You probably won't. That would be great if you could maybe do something. Anybody think it's cute to give attitude to God? Guess what? It's not cute when a child gives attitude to their parents. It's not cute. It's not funny. I know there's videos all over the internet and you see them and sometimes you can't help but laugh, but you're laughing because it's not your kid. If it was your kid, that's not funny. You know who's the worst for this? Grandparents, right? Grandparents are the worst when it comes to this. Kids say something with a horrible attitude. I'm just going to say grandparents. Sometimes you need to go around the corner, like cover your mouth, and then when you're around the corner, burst out laughing. And I know that as grandparents, you're laughing not just because it's funny, but because it's not your problem anymore. I know that's a really, really big part of it. And you're just reveling in that. But whatever your family structure is, if you're a grandparent, if you're an aunt, if you're an uncle, if you're a brother, if you're a sister, whoever you are, anyone in your family who has kids, man, don't ever encourage attitude from a child to a parent. Because everyone knows this. A kid is like a monkey getting a banana. When one person laughs, they're going to do it again. So attitude with little kids and sass, you can't just chalk it up to spunk and go, oh, that's spunk. Because we don't really use the word spunk with adults a whole lot. We use other nastier words that I don't really want to repeat from the pulpit. So what I want to ask you to realize is that things that people think are cute in children turn into very ugly behaviors as adults. And it is much easier to correct it at the childhood stage than try and explain to an adult, hey, when you do that, you communicate to everybody, you don't value them at all. You think you're better than them, that you can judge anybody. So be very careful about making light of attitude in children. It's so much easier to correct when they're kids. And then lastly, in this category, teach children to serve their parents. Teach children to serve their parents. If you're a parent, you don't do this by saying, because I want you to grow up and love the Lord, you're going to serve me today. Go make me a sandwich. That's not going to cultivate in your child a heart that loves the Lord. They're just going to be like, you're just lazy and want me to make you a sandwich. And you're like, but the pastor said I'd be a good parent if I made you do this. Here's how you do it. You grab your kids and you have them help you serve your spouse. That's what you do. If you're a dad, you grab them and you say, hey, come and help me. We're going to go run to the store and get this for mom. Hey, come help me. We're going to go clean the car for mom. Help me straighten up this room. It's going to lower mom's stress level just a little bit if we can clean this up. Hey, help me load the dishwasher so we can be a blessing to mom. And if you're a mom, then you can tell your kids, hey, would you just clean this up? Because when dad comes home, when dad gets off work, he's so much less stressed out if he can come home to a house that's not a complete war zone. And so you grab your kids and you have them work with you to bless your spouse. And that's teaching them the importance of honoring. And they might respond with, well, how much are you going to pay me to do that? And it's a great time to say, oh no, we're just doing this to bless him. We're just doing this to bless her. We're just doing this so that she doesn't have to, so that he doesn't have to. That's the only reason. So what about as your kids get older? What about teenagers or even you and I? Because this still applies to all of us. How can we honor our father and mother? Well, we all know as your kids get older, things are going to look different. First-time obedience is going to look different. It's not necessarily healthy if your kid is 16 and you're like, hey, you didn't obey right away the first time and with a smile. It's going to be a little more difficult just as the hormones kick in. They'll become more and more their own person, but your relationship will also change. You won't be able to intimidate them as effectively, unfortunately, as your kids get older. Your teenage boys will realize eventually, I'm pretty sure I can take you. So the relationship is going to have to change. But you know what happens in the teen years is you will reap the harvest you sowed in the area of honor. Either those seeds that you've sown will create enough honor for you to have a healthy relationship through the teen years, or you'll be playing catch up. And it is very, very hard to play catch up in the area of honor with a child who's in puberty. That is just a difficult, difficult challenge. What becomes most important is learning how to dialogue in a way that honors the father and mother. Can a teenager dialogue in a way that is respectful? For example, the teenage daughter gets a call from dad while she's out with her friends, and dad says, "I forgot to tell you, I need you to be home by 11 p.m. tonight. That's the curfew." She's honoring dad if she says, "Would it be possible to make it 11:15? We're like deep into a game of Settlers, as though that's what teenagers do. "And I'd really, really like to finish it." That would be honoring. That's an honoring bit of dialogue, even though she's asking for a change. It's not honoring her dad if she goes, "Whatever, dad. You always ruin my fun." They got to learn how to dialogue in a respectful way. Very practically, here's a tough one. Honoring one's parents means spending time with them, whatever your age is. Visiting them regularly. If you don't live close, it means calling them regularly, keeping in touch with them, maybe putting photos on Facebook just for them to see. When they get older, it may mean taking care of them in a way you never thought you would have to. Most Asian cultures and Middle Eastern cultures do a much better job at this than we do in our Western culture. We don't really value our parents once they're old. We tend to view all really old people as a giant inconvenience. You know, when they're on the road, you're like, "Oh, just die already." Come on, you know you think that. And so we honor our parents even when they become a giant inconvenience. We honor our parents even when hanging out with them isn't fun. We honor them because they are our mom and our dad. We honor them just because of who they are. Here's one for teens. No phones at family meals. Practical pointer. You have phones at family meals. Here's what it says. "There is nothing going on at this table that is more deserving of my attention than this electronic device. None of these people. What's going on here is far more important." Put the phone away, just as a sign of respect for the parents. Parents, don't let them have phones at the table. Some of you parents are like, "Does that mean I can't have my phone at the table?" Yes, put your phone down, okay? Speak respectfully of your parents when they're not around. That's a big one, right? Speak respectfully of your parents when they're not around. Not, "Oh, my dad is such a moron, but I gotta go visit. Listen to him rant about politics for like 2 hours and what he would do if he was prime minister." Don't talk that way about your parents. Honor them even when they're not around. And if anyone disrespects them, stand up for them, even if they're not around to defend themselves. This may be shocking to you, but sometimes your parents are not worthy of respect. Sometimes they're not the smartest. Sometimes they're not the coolest, but they still deserve to be honored by their children. Here's a foreign concept in our culture, another one. Sons and daughters understanding how their behavior reflects on their parents. Huge one for teenagers and even us. When a teenage boy is playing on a sports team, is it at all a part of his thought process that how he conducts himself reflects on his family and his parents? I'm not talking about his performance in the game. I'm talking about the way he treats his teammates and his opposition and his coaches. Does the child understand, hey, the way you behave reflects on our family and our family name? And don't dishonor the family. Don't dishonor your mom and your dad by your behavior. How about social media? It's in full view of the whole world. Is it ever a thought that we teach our teenagers, hey, what you're doing, it's not just your opinion, it's not just yours, it reflects on our whole family. So put some thought into what you post because it reflects on your family. I would say that children of any age, including us as adults, shouldn't argue with their parents in public. Don't argue with your parents in public. I think that's profoundly disrespectful. Have the restraint and the self-control to move that disagreement to a more private setting out of honor for them. Unless a grave mistake is about to be made, children should avoid correcting and embarrassing their parents in public. That includes family gatherings. So here's a great example. Dad tells a long, long story about the history of airplanes, and he tells this whole thing, and you're like, I watched a documentary on this, and everything he's saying is completely wrong. What you want to do is like wait to the very end and be like, yeah, hey, Dad, that was great, except for the whole thing not being true. The respectful thing is to just let it go, and then later on, go to your dad one-on-one and say, hey, Dad, I just need to give you a heads up because I don't want you to be embarrassed by telling that story again. Nothing in that story is true. All your information is false. That's the more honoring thing to do rather than creating a moment where mom or dad is humiliated or embarrassed in front of a bunch of people. Just practical ways you can honor your mom or dad. So I'm going to say it again at the end, but probably most of you, if you live far from your parents, you probably need to go home and call your parents this afternoon. And you'll all lie and say, oh, I was just thinking about you and thought I would call to alleviate my guilt. So we'll wrap up by talking briefly about some ways that you can model honoring God to your children in your home. Short list. Firstly, honor your spouse. Honor your spouse. Your kids are watching. They're not going to understand how to honor their heavenly father. If they see mom and dad dishonoring each other all the time, they're not going to know what honor is. Secondly, honor the Bible. Honor God's word. Orient your life around it. Live it out and explain to your kids that this lays out the best way to live right now. Do your kids know that you love the word of God? Do they know you love the word of God? Saw a great quote from Greg Laurie this week. Greg Laurie said somebody once asked him, what do I do if I disagree with the Bible? It's classic Greg Laurie answer. He says, change your opinion. You are wrong. The Bible is right. The end. Honor the Bible in your home. Have time in God's word. Do your kids know that you have time in God's word on a daily basis? You show honor to God by honoring his people, the church. You know, it's powerful when you make church a priority in your home. It's powerful when you make serving your brothers and sisters in Christ a priority because your kids grow up believing, man, that's just what you do when you love Jesus. You love God's people. You can't wait to be at church. You can't wait to be in God's presence worshiping with other believers. They grow up understanding, man, that's the priority because God needs to be honored more than the God of football or golf or anything else. God needs to be honored. Here's a good one. Honor the Holy Spirit moment to moment. And here's what I mean by this. If you're a parent, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you all the time. All the time. Most horribly when he comes to you and tells you you need to apologize to one of your kids. It's horrible. But the Holy Spirit will do it. And your kids will understand as they grow up what it means to honor God when you honor the Holy Spirit in your parenting. When you've blown it and you go back to your kids and you say, I'm sorry I used that word, I'm sorry I said that, I shouldn't have done that, will you please forgive me? This is a humbling thing to do that with your child. And your child won't understand that now, but as they get into their teen years, they're going to begin to understand and grasp, hey, I know what was happening. The Holy Spirit was convicting my dad. The Holy Spirit was convicting my mom. And they actually listened. And they actually responded. And they actually obeyed. That will serve your children so well in their parenting and in their marriage. And how many of you are believers would be like, man, I would not be married were it not for the Holy Spirit showing up at key moments in my marriage, being like, you idiot, you need to go do this right now. Trust me, I'm the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. Honor God by going to him in prayer when a need or a situation arises. Make this a response for your family. Your kids are going to have fears. They're going to have concerns. They're going to have things they view as needs. They're going to have anxiety about specific things. Make it your default response to say, hey, let's pray about that. Had a bad dream? Let's pray about that. We were at Lynn Canyon the other day, and there was a guy who had just drowned. And I was so proud of Charlene because she just grabbed our kids and she said, hey, let's just hold hands and we'll just pray right now for the whole situation. I was like, that's good. That's good. Because the kids begin to learn this is just how we respond to situations as believers. We pray. We pray about everything. And your kids aren't just getting, oh, we pray. They're going, oh, God is the one who can help in every situation. In those situations where we don't know what to do, God can help. In those situations where we don't know where help's going to come from, God can help. Honor God financially and teach your kids to do the same. We've said this before. The younger they start, the easier it will be. Don't we all want our kids to grow up saying, honoring God in my finances is just what I've always done. It's not this big internal wrestling for me. It's just what I've always done. I've always put God first. Honor God. This is the last point. Honor God in your family's entertainment choices. Man, it's powerful when you hear your kids say, hey, we're not going to watch that because the characters in the show do this all the time. They love this. And guess what? They love something that God hates. And so when we watch something that God says he hates and we laugh at it and we're entertained by it, that is spitting in the face of God and saying, I know you're horribly offended by that, God, but I don't really care. I enjoy consuming that. When your kids understand that, that's the reason rather than it's bad, they begin to go, wow, the way we actually live is affected by our desire to honor God. That's the filter we put our lives through is, will this honor God? Respect is earned. Honor is given. All honor will ultimately flow to Jesus. And for that reason, God has commanded parents to teach their children how to honor those placed above them. If you're a parent, the Lord has placed you above your children. You are not their equal. You are in a position of authority above them so that you can teach them what it means to show honor, so that ultimately they might honor their heavenly Father rightly and be blessed. Some of us need to have some serious family conversations about honor this afternoon and this coming week. Some of us will need to make changes in our family and in our marriage and the way we talk to each other and the tone that we allow. It won't change like that, but I want to encourage you to think it through and make sure you have standards that you're aiming for that are going to produce a culture of honor in your home. It's so important. And as I said, many of us probably need to call parents who don't live close to us this afternoon. Probably me too. So I'm going to do that. Let's pray. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, would you help us to create a culture of honor in our homes, in our marriages, in our families? Lord, we see that honor is the foundation of the Trinity. It's the foundation of the church. It's the foundation of the family. Lord, it's your desire that we would give honor to one another, that we might learn to honor you rightly. Lord, you're worthy of honor. You're worthy of respect. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of glory, of adoration. Father, I pray for everybody parenting their own children. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. You would give us courage to set a standard and hold to it, even when we feel unworthy of honor, understanding that our goal is not our own honor, but our goal is to honor the Father and to raise children who honor the Father. Lord, thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given every mom, every dad who loves you, the Holy Spirit as a partner in parenting. For those moments where we're in over our heads, where we don't know what to do, we're not powerless. We have your power, the power of the living God on our side to help break difficult habits, to soften hard hearts, to break up entrenched attitudes and views. Lord, give us a culture of honor in our family. Give us a culture of honor in our church. And may we honor you rightly. Lord, I pray right now, just as we wait on you, as we still our hearts before you, that you would just begin to give practical instruction and advice to each of us. Encouragements in the areas that you want us to continue in, correction in the areas we need to change, inspiration where we need new ideas and help. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Parenting is such a high calling, Lord. We don't want to blow it. We want our kids to grow up knowing you and loving you. So speak to us, Lord. We're listening. We're listening. Well, thanks for taking this time to listen and be in the Word of God with us. If you've never given your life to Jesus, then you need to go to our website, mynewhope.ca, right now.
When you get there, you'll see a graphic on our homepage that says The Gospel. Click on that and you'll be able to watch a short video where we share the best news you'll ever hear in your life. It's more important than whatever else you're doing right now. So stop whatever else you're doing, go to mynewhope.ca and click on The Gospel. If God has blessed you through this message, we'd love to hear about it. Shoot us an email at info@mynewhope.ca and let us know how God has impacted your life through His Word. If you're in the Greater Vancouver area, I want to invite you personally to come and be a part of New Hope Church. We believe God is doing something real special as we grow together in our faith and love for Jesus, and we would love you to be a part of it. And finally, if you'd like to support the Bible teaching ministry of New Hope through financial giving, you can also do that through our website. Just go to mynewhope.ca/give. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for being in the Word of God with us. And always remember, God is with you.